His name is wonderful, our Lord. I have a news bulletin to give you this morning. It just come. Jerusalem, the city of David, the city of Zion, has been invaded. Walls have been tore down. The gates have been burned. We have a news correspondent over there, and he has contacted a witness, a man who escaped being taken to captivity. And his name is Nehemiah. And he tells his story. It came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, to keep the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee, now day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, If ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and I will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power, by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name, and prosper. And I pray thee that thy servant this day grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Our news is a little bit slow. This was a few days ago, B.C. 446. And we know that Jerusalem has truly been trodden down. People were taken captive. We have another news bulletin. This bulletin says the Lord is going to bring again Zion. That Zion that was before, he's going to bring it again. And he is telling his people, and this is more recent, telling his people to seek to bring forth and establish the cause of Zion. That's a little bit more recent, 1829. But it's a news bulletin nonetheless. Are you ready for Zion? Are you ready to bring forth the cause of Zion? Today, the Lord is ready. He's been waiting for this people, you and I. We don't have much time left. And I've got a problem. I want to share it with you. I think maybe we all have a problem. You know, the parable the Lord spoke of, the 10 wise, the 10 foolish virgins, they had their lamps. What condition is your lamp in? Mine don't look too good right now. It's a little low on oil. Needs to be cleaned up a little bit. The dust needs to be blown off of it. And there's some smears there. And the wick needs to be trimmed. And the glass, where the light comes out, the very purpose of the lamp is to have the light. But that globe that sits around that light, it's got a lot of smudges, dirty places on it. And they're called, I don't have time, smudges. Cares of this world, smudges. They got a few secret sins there. I need to repent, smudges. It's all over the glass, all over the globe. It needs to be cleaned up. But we're going to try to clean it up. We've got about, according to the clock there, about 25 minutes. We're going to do some cleaning up here. And I want you all to take your lamps and try to do this. Time is running out. And we don't know when the bridegroom cometh. It's our place to be ready. In Revelations, the last chapter, 22. We want to see if there's something here we can understand. Because we need a vision here of what to do with ourselves. To prepare ourselves for something that's beyond this life. Something that there will be a likeness in Zion itself here on earth. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. What was in those leaves that would heal nations? Nations of people. The tree of life was the truth. It's the gospel of Christ, the word of God. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. The Lord God shall give them light. But what about the light that we are to have? What about the light from our lamp? Is it going to be able to shine the same as his light? And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard them, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these sayings. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant of thy, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. Worship God. That's a beginning of our preparation. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. The Lord will make that final judgment. And if we are filthy, we remain filthy. If we are righteous, we'll remain righteous. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Okay, we've got some problems here with the lamp. Got some smudges. And the smudges are things that we've either done or not done to leave them on there. And we need to clean them off. And we need some cleanser. And we're going to go to Matthew, the 5th chapter. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. In the latter part of the chapter, starting with verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, which reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which in heaven is perfect. I got a big smudge there. In fact, it's more than a smudge. It's kind of caked on there. It says you can't be perfect. I got to get that off. Because I've got to have something to clean it off. It says I can be perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. I got to get that off. Because if I don't, that light isn't going to shine. The Lord isn't going to let me in. Okay. Let's start doing some work here and thinking about this. You're sitting by somebody that you love, every one of you. Your companion for life, or your children. Somebody that you love, you're sitting by them. You have confidence in that person, that that person is going to do everything that he or she can do to help you, to be with you in your needs. But how much help can that person give you? You're going to be a full-fledged Christian. That's the goal here. A full-fledged Christian. You're going to have qualities like unto Christ, like unto the Father. Who is it's going to help you the most? The person that loves you, sits next to you? Well, they'll do everything they can. And I'm sure they'll help you. And they have helped you. But what about the first part of this? What about it says, what if you love them which love you, what reward have you? You aren't going to get any reward by the fact that your loved one loves you, or you love that your loved one. You're going to get a reward because you love somebody that you don't like. Somebody, your enemy. Somebody that despises you and takes advantage of you. That's the person that you've got to work with, that does something to you. You may never be able to change that person. But that person that despitefully uses you and takes advantage of you, mocks you, ridicules you, just gets under your skin, that is the person that's going to help you the most to become a full-fledged Christian. Because you're going to have to get down and pray for that person. And that's going to improve you and me. I've heard some pray for the President of the United States. It feels awfully hard for me to try to do that. Because maybe I'm entering politics here, but it isn't necessarily a matter of politics. I think you and I have had some kind of a uneasiness or a bad feeling about the way things have went during the term of office of this president. But you know, that was something that could improve us if we let it. It's praying for somebody that don't want your help, that actually may not be the kind of person that you want to set up as an idol for you in any sense of the word. I had something on my email here the other day that kind of made me think a little bit. This man was told of the Lord to go out in his yard, and there was a big rock there that the Lord had placed there. And he told this man, he says, "You go and push against that rock." So the man didn't question. He went out there and he started pushing. Nothing happened. Now look at you. You're muscular. You're strong. You're healthy. Well, that's a tip. Typifies our spiritual experiences, in my mind. We can't always move the rocks that are in our, the obstacles that are in our lives. We may not be able to budge them out at all. But we have to strive against them anyway. Because they're wrong. They're things that must be moved out, that they must, we must exercise our spiritual abilities there. And the Lord in His own time will move them. So, we must learn to get rid of that smudge. Or that little thing that says, you can't be perfect. I've heard it too many times. But the scripture says you can. And you have to be. You have to try to be perfect. I think we need some help. Let's go over here in Romans 10. We're not going to do this all by ourselves, but we can, with the Lord's help, we can do it. Romans 10. Verses 11 through 15. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So we want to believe on him, on the Lord. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on the on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's what you, hopefully, I'm doing right now, is preaching. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. We must believe on the Lord. We must believe on His name. We will be saved. We have to exercise that faith. James 2:23 says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. Abraham is our example. You can go back and read about Abraham. How he did exactly what the Lord told him to do. Even though it was right against everything that he thought should be. Now Peter is an example of a person who tried to do what he thought was right. But he was all the time going against the Lord. Or not all the time, but there were times when he did go against what the Lord wanted. Eventually, he learned some things. And we all have to learn. I'm going to have to skip through some scriptures here, and I hope I don't leave anything out that is especially important. But we are told the very principles of the gospel we're given that by which we might be saved, and that is through faith on the Lord, repentance of our sins, and to be baptized and have the hands laid upon us for the reception of the Holy Ghost. Those are the steps by which we enter into the gate and through the gate. But what happens then? Paul says, go on unto perfection. You don't stand here and go back and say, well, I did this and this and this, and stand there and look at it. It's already passed. It did its purpose, and you've got to go on then unto perfection. Focus yourself on that goal that the Lord has set before us. And unless we do, there's going to be something happen here. We're going to fall short. We're not going to have the oil in our lamps when the Lord comes. So I want to go to the words of Peter here, the second epistle of Peter, the first chapter. And I want to talk about some things here that he speaks of. I trust in him because I believe that he learned his lesson. By this time, he has some real good things for us to consider. And I think he can help us clean the glass up. Help us fill our vessel with oil. The second verse, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. You know, those words are so beautiful. I know that he was inspired to write these things. And if we look at them, we recognize that they are words that can lift us up to a better perspective, to see things in a better perspective. Divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We read about the tree of life and the leaves that can heal the nations. What can it do to us? What has it done to us thus far? It's given us something that we really value. It's there in our lamp. It's the oil. But we've got to add to that oil. We've got to increase. We've got to develop. You know, we come into this body of Christ, spiritually, we're kind of a skinny, puny person. And we've got to grow spiritually. Develop spiritually. Get strong. Push against that rock that we can't move. We've got to develop and add to the things that we already know are true. We've come a long ways, yes, but we've got some more to do. We've got some more developing. We've got to come to that Zionic state that the Lord has called us to. And I want to go on about what Peter has to say about this. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Divine nature. I want to stop there. What nature are we acquainted with? The natural man. The natural man is a constant problem with every human that's lived to be of an accountable age. The natural man has to be overcome. He has to be subdued. He has to be controlled. Otherwise, the glass is going to be smudged with all kinds of stuff and you can't see through it. No light's going to go through it. So we got to be partakers of the divine nature. We really got to believe that God will perfect us to bring us to that acceptable state. Says, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, putting away the natural man. And beside this, giving all diligence. There's a word that just trips you right up. Diligence. What does it mean to be diligent? Well, one thing it means is you got to slow down and look at these things and take the time oh boy, who has time to do anything today? But that's part of my smudges on my glass. I don't have time. I got to get the smudge off of my glass. Because time, you've got to take the time to do it. But giving all diligence, add to your faith. Well, wait a minute, let's consider faith. Well, we've got the example. Abraham's faith. That's a good example. But faith is, definition is, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There's others that I could read on that. But, so we've got to have faith. What are we going to add to faith? Virtue. What is virtue? It's general moral excellence, what the dictionary says. Right action and thinking. Goodness and morality. Chastity. These are the things that we need to have. We need to clean off all the lustfulness, all the little secret sins that are on that glass. Got to get them cleaned off. How do we get them cleaned off? Well, we've got to repent of them, but we've got to get rid of them, not leave them there. We add to virtue knowledge. Yeah, we know quite a bit. But the Lord has to teach us knowledge. His knowledge. He's going to give us line upon line and precept upon precept. And as long as we receive it, He's going to keep giving it to us. And of course, that makes us more accountable to Him. But it gives us a way of understanding. And the understanding gives us an ability then to act according to what we understand and what we know. The most miserable person in the world is the one who knows the truth and doesn't do it. Does contrary to what he knows. And it's so frustrating when the world tries to tell you, indulge yourself. Well, no, we can't do that. We can't give way to the continual enticing to do the things contrary to the will of God. Otherwise, our glass is covered and there is no light coming out. Well, we're going to add to knowledge temperance. It's moderate in indulging the appetites. Self-restrained. Temperate in all things. That's what the scripture says. Be temperate in all things. You know, you can get on a tangent and go clear off into no man's land, and you don't have any ability to concentrate or get back to where you started. You're lost. So you have to be temperate in all things. I've got scriptures for all these, but maybe I'll write an article sometime. Patience. That's a big one. I've got a whole lot about that. Bearing or enduring pain, trouble, etc. without complaining or losing self-control. Forbearing. Tolerating delay, confusion, inefficiency. That, you know, that just steps all over my toes and I know that I'm guilty. But that's a bad one. Being steady, being diligent, persevering, staying with something and completing it and getting it accomplished. And with being patient, you usually find the word meek, humble, submissive, long-suffering. And we know that the Lord trieth our patience. He trieth our patience. The scriptures tell us that. I say praise God. He knows how to make us what He wants us to be. He knows how to do that. But it's all here in the Scriptures if we just take the time. And I've just taken one example here that Peter has given. But you add to your patience godliness. Well, here is something that's like we just got through talking about earlier. Being like God. Godliness is an indication of divine, of that which is divine, of the things that are of God. And so we are to be like God. We are to be devout. We are to have contentment in Him rather than in things of the world. And then we have brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. Adding to godliness, we add brotherly kindness, and they're kind of related. But brotherly kindness is being friendly. We can do that. It's pretty easy, most of us. Being helpful. Being sympathetic. I think we're usually pretty sympathetic. Being gentle. Being tender-hearted. Being generous. Being cordial. Being loving, affectionate. And we are to have, in the Scriptures, it says, to have brotherly love, which is a closeness to others. Well, we add all these things up, and we come to the last one. To brotherly kindness, we add charity. Well, we're going to fill up the lamp now. Charity is going to fill it all the way up. If we get that, our lamp is going to be full. So we're going to work on that. We're going to clean off all the things off of the glass so that the light will shine through. We know what charity is. It's a pure love of Christ. The Lord has given the commandment that all men should have charity, which charity is love. And except they should have charity, they were nothing. Wherefore they should have charity, they would not suffer the laborer in Zion to perish. We're back to Zion again. That's going to be the main ingredient in Zion. It's charity. You have charity, you can be assured to enter in to Zion. It says that there must be faith, and if there must be faith, there must also be hope, and if there must be hope, there must also be charity. And except you have charity, you can in no wise be saved in the kingdom of God. Hope is a special one there. Hope is saying, I can be perfect. Because the Lord, I know the Lord will help me. I know the Lord will change me, whatever it takes. I know that. That's what we're to say. The end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. We have to cleanse what's in the heart and make it pure. And of a good conscience and of a faith unfeigned. Well, do you think you can get your glass clean? Do you have the hope? Is your focus on preparing yourself for Zion? Preparing yourself for the life beyond this life? Do you have that focus? It's here in the Scriptures. If you've got doubt, you've got a stone there that you've got to get rid of. And you're not going to be able to move it. But the Lord can move it for you. And if you say, I can't do it, you're a cripple. You cannot rise above yourself. You're totally in a helpless state. But if you say, I can, you can move. You can go forward. You can have that vision. And it's here in the Scriptures. It's here where if you read them You are just like you're lifted up away from your problems. You know, that's there. I feel it. And yet I fall to the earth too many times. I need the help of the Lord constantly. If I can confess this to you, then I know that, then you know that we are all in the same boat, seeking to gain that acceptance of the Lord. And that's what we're here for. That's the whole purpose. And I know the Lord can give us that inspiration, that strength to move forward. Thank you.